That is, see, future leaders. Oh man, what a blessing that is to have future leaders. What desperate need we are in for leadership in our nation today. My goodness, we look around our nation today and my, how much we need leadership. Look at all the troubles and problems we have, and to know God's still raising up another generation. Look around the world and think, man, with all the stuff that's going on, my goodness, how are we going to survive? See, next leadership coming up, what a blessing that is. That's a testament to this church of raising children right and how it can be done. So I appreciate you. I mentioned this morning, I appreciate this church, appreciate everything they've done for my wife and I, supporting us, being there for us, encouraging us. Texts, phone calls, different things that I get from you all. I appreciate it Appreciate it very much, and appreciate my pastor very much. He's still very much my pastor, and I appreciate him for it. Appreciate his leadership, his guidance, him starting two churches himself. He knows what you got to go through. He knows what it takes, so I appreciate him very much. And looking out of the crowd tonight, I appreciate all the new faces, a lot of new faces since I was here last time. That's a blessing. That's another sign. Churches do well when you see new faces when you come back. So I appreciate all those. Sorry I don't know your names. I try. I really do. I am terrible with names. So please have pity on me as I try to remember names because I am terrible at them. But it's good to be in God's house tonight and good to see what God has for us this evening. Not what I've got for you because you don't want what I've got for you. You want what God's got tonight. So let's take our Bibles, turning back to the book of Matthew, but then chapter number 17 this evening. Chapter number 17 this evening. Matthew chapter 17. I can preach out of other books. That's just how this worked out. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. And then when they come to the multitude, there came him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for he often falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. And came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove thence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, in verse number 21, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I want to talk a few moments about this idea tonight. Who has the authority? Who has the authority? Brother Alker, you'll put some prayer this evening. Hey, man. Thanks to every reference to God's word, you may be seated. We find Christ coming off the Mount of Transfiguration in our text in Matthew chapter 17. He's come off the Mount of Transfiguration. We know that all happened there. You know, Peter being the knucklehead that he was in the Mount of Transfiguration, all those things that happened up there. But he finds the disciples, when he gets back down to them, he finds the rest of the disciples in the grips of failure. He finds that he leaves them successful and he comes back to them as a failure, in failure. And in that moment when he comes back to them in failure, you know, how troubling it is, you know, in our lives when how quickly life can go from success to failure. Right. Just seems like it almost just turns on a dime. When I'm successful, everything's going great, then boom, something happens and I feel like a failure. I failed, my God, I failed in some way. You know, what happens most of the time when we find ourselves in the midst of failure is that what we need is authority in our lives. We find that authority, when authority breaks down, we find a very quick spiral into trouble. Oh, come on. When authority gets wrong, or authority begins to be questioned, authority begins to break down in society, come on, in the military or wherever you are, in the workplace, it doesn't matter what it is. If authority breaks down, it spirals into chaos very quickly. We certainly see that in our country today. Whenever there's a natural disaster and everything goes crazy, right? All these people looting and doing all these things. Why? Because authority has broken down. And all of a sudden, everything goes haywire. Because we need to understand authority. We need to have authority. God has ordained government to be an authority figure. Okay, He has ordained that for a purpose. You know, in government, in our home, our personal lives, authority is extremely important. God has given authority from the top down. Jesus Christ is always the top of authority. Come on, you say amen to that, right? Amen. Jesus Christ is always the authority. In the home, He's authority. Okay, come on. When I'm at church, He's the authority. Everywhere I go, Jesus Christ is the authority. Amen. I must recognize it. Then it breaks down from there, right? The authority comes down from there to wherever it is that you're, whether it be the home or the workplace, Jesus Christ is authority. Even in my workplace, Jesus Christ is the authority. May not be the authority of my boss, but He's the authority for me, right, even in the workplace. So Jesus Christ is always the authority. So an aspect of authority that must be recognized with, the aspect of authority that must be recognized in our lives is that Jesus Christ has the authority. He is the authority in my life. So if that's the truth, if that's the case, where does our salvation, where does our peace, where does our victory, where does our prosperity ever come from? Comes from Christ, correct? All of it comes from Him. Okay, so if I begin to question any of that, the authority begins to break down in my life. And I'm going to begin to lose those things. Because I'm now questioning where they're coming from. I'm questioning where the peace is coming from. I'm cutting myself off from where my peace comes from. Come on, I'm cutting myself off from where my salvation comes from. I'm cutting myself off from those things, and it becomes a problem. And I find it very easy in my flesh to become selfish very quickly. To begin to take that authority on myself, thinking, you know, I did a pretty good job with that. Come on, I'm beginning to usurp authority here. I did a pretty good job there. Or I can do this on my own. I'm usurping authority at that moment and taking it upon myself and taking the authority away from God and saying, okay, I can do this. Or I can do this thing or that thing. Or I can go here or go there. And to forget to not appreciate all that God has done for me and all that He is responsible for is a breakdown of authority. To understand that He is responsible for these things, and that is a form of stealing God's glory. Oh, come on. That is a form of stealing His glory. That is a form of taking something that belongs to Him and taking it to myself, stealing His authority and stealing His glory, and not recognizing where my blessings come from. Or where my peace comes from, or where my strength comes from, or where the ability, come on, to do anything comes from. In that moment, I'm stealing His authority when I do that. So there's times I have to be reminded of who is in authority. And if I want to be successful in this life, I must recognize God's authority and then live under that authority every single day. And recognize that authority in every decision I make and everywhere I go and everything I do is under His authority. When I go to work, I'm under His authority. When I get in my car and drive, I'm under His authority. When I come to church, I'm under His authority. I have no authority of my own. Well, I don't. I don't have any authority of my own. Anything I've given is given from Him. He is the authority. In my life, He is the one, come on, He's the one calling the shots in my life. I'm just trying to do the best I can to recognize Him and follow Him and take my life and mold it into His image to allow Him to be the authority. You know, we can really do nothing. If we really break life down, we can really do nothing apart from the help of the aid of God. You do nothing. Make your heart beat. Go ahead. I'll give you a minute. You can't do it, friend. We have no authority. We think we do, don't we? We think we have authority. We don't recognize a tiny little bit of the authority of God. We don't recognize it near enough as what we do. All that He's controlling, all that He's doing, all that He is putting together in my life, I don't recognize a thimbleful of it in comparison to what He's really doing. If I really recognize His authority, I understand He's doing everything. He's putting everything together. I am nothing without Him. I have nothing without Him. I can claim nothing without Him. He is everything. Now the disciples have been with their Lord for a while now. They've been called by Him. They've been living with Him. They've seen some success in their lives with Him. And they're walking. They've grown a little bit. They've understood a little bit. Come on. They've been given some responsibilities. Now, mark that in your minds right now. They've been given some responsibilities, okay, to do certain things under Jesus Christ's authority. Now, get that. Please understand this. You're going to miss the point of the message. They've been given responsibilities under the authority of Jesus Christ is what they've been given. Okay, they haven't been given the authority to do anything. They've been given the responsibility to carry out things under Jesus Christ's authority. Okay, that's what they've been given. They've been given that responsibility to do these things. They've been given the ability to do some things, but only by the authority of Jesus Christ. When a pastor gets up here and baptizes someone in the baptistry, he doesn't do it under his authority, does he? Oh, he's carrying out the responsibility of it, but it's not his authority he's baptizing someone. Okay, I don't get up on this pulpit under my authority and preach these things. It's Jesus Christ's authority. I'm telling you what Jesus Christ said or what God has said. It's not by my authority. And if I do that, I'm doing it wrong. Right. I've got to recognize the authority. And just because you've been saved for a while, you're walking closer to the Savior maybe than you ever have been before, or think that you are a good person, that does not make you the authority. Come on, that does not give you any more authority than the day you got saved. No more. Okay? You may have more responsibilities now. God has put a little bit more on your plate. But you don't have any authority. It's not your authority. You to do those things. So Christ is going to use the failure of the disciples in our text to teach the importance of understanding by what authority we live, by what authority we are successful, and by what authority we can do anything for God Almighty. It is only through Him. So when we forget where authority resides, we find failure so quickly. When I forget authority, I find failure so quickly. I take it upon myself. You know, no matter how much success we have experienced in the past, when if that success was directed by the authority of God, if we forget the truth of residing under that authority of Christ, we will experience failure. If I forget it at any moment, I will find failure. No matter how much success I have, I will find failure. The moment I step out under the umbrella of His authority and do it on my own, I'm going to find failure instantly. I will find that failure. You know, let us seek to find the reason for the failures and therefore the ways to success that we need to find to stay under the authority of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 14 of our text here. The first thing we find is the frustration of a father in verse number 14 through 16. And when they come to the multitudes, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for often falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. So we find the failure and frustration of the moment, don't we? Come on, Jesus Christ has the authority of Jesus Christ has just been manifested to Peter, James, and John, right? On the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus Christ said, hey, this is my son. Come on, there's maybe no greater moment than his baptism or his resurrection that we find the authority of Jesus Christ more recognized than right here in this text, where God the Father shines down on him and says, hey, this is my son. Come on, that's where Jesus Christ gets his authority to do anything on the earth was through Jesus Christ. He humbled himself. He said, I'm under authority. I'm submitting to that authority. Jesus Christ understood authority very well. He even submitted himself to his parents' authority. Oh, come on, young ones. He even submitted himself to his parents' authority and said, hey, mama, I got to be submissive to them because they are my authority right now. I'm going to understand authority. And if I forget authority, I'm going to fail. Young people, if you forget your authority, you will fail in this life. I'll be very blunt about it. You will forget your authority. Just as much as an adult will fail if they forget who God is, that God's authority. You will fail if you forget the authority of your parents. You will fail. If you step out under that umbrella and think, I can do it on my own, friends, you young person are in for a failure if you do that. So we find here the frustration of a father. You know, we see this begins with the frustration of this man. He is frustrated that his son is possessed. And his life has been made horribly difficult by this possession. We just read the text and it just jumps off the page of how horribly this man's life has gone for however long it's been that this possession has been going on. It's gotten so much to the point that his son's life is in jeopardy. It says literally he's running into fires and running into lakes and literally trying to commit suicide at this point because of this possession. And he's going through these things and he's finding these things and this father is looking at this and he's just vexed by his son's terrible condition. He's beside himself. Oh, come on, parents. You can put yourself in that moment if you saw these kind of things happening to one of your children. Just imagine seeing them go through these things and seeing this problem he's going through. And the son was not right in his mind. He had often tried to commit suicide and was tormented day and night. And this led the father, to come and seek the Savior. Oh, praise the Lord. Come on, he comes to seek the Savior, doesn't he? Come on, he hears about Jesus Christ somehow, some way. And he says, okay, I'm down to my last hope here. I'm going to go find the Savior. I've been told he can do anything. Oh, amen there. Come on. He can do anything. I've heard he can do anything. I've heard he can heal people that are possessed. I've heard that he can cleanse the leper. I've heard that he can do all of these amazing things. I'm going to take my son to that man. Because he can do anything. We know from our text that Christ was on the Mount Transfiguration when he comes. And in his absence, the disciples had met this man and tried to help him. They had tried to help him, right, by our text. Said, I brought him to the disciples and they could not cure him. They had tried and failed. You know, in their attempt, they had simply caused more frustration. Just more frustration, right? When you're down to your last hope and you put everything into coming to this man, and you walk up to him and you say, I need my son cured, and it fails. That's a miserable feeling, friends. When you get to your last hope, the last place you think, this is it. If this doesn't work, I've got nowhere else to go. I got no one else to turn to. This man can do anything. If he can't help me, who can? So he comes to his disciples and he puts all of his faith and the fact that Jesus Christ is going to be here. He comes to this place and someone informs him. Someone points him to the disciples. And he walks up to the disciples and he says, hey, you know, I need my son. Here's my son. He's a lunatic. He's trying to kill himself. I don't know how much longer he's going to live. Come on. I don't know how much longer I can keep doing this. I don't know how much longer before he takes his life. I don't know how much longer before this is all over. He said, I need you to heal my son. I need you to cure him. And they said, well, the Savior's gone up, but there's his disciples. Go talk to them. They know him. They've seen him. They walk with him. Surely they can help you. Surely they can be there for you. Surely they can help you and aid you in some way because they know the Savior. He's gone right now, but there, him, that, those men right there, go to them because they can help you. Then to only find that his expectations were clearly shattered by the fact that these men couldn't help him. To put your faith in something and build it up so much, then be let down. In this case, to have nowhere else to turn. In this case, this man's faith had only led him to more frustration. Oh, come on, friends. It only led him to more frustration. Come on. By the failure of God's own children, this man was led to more frustration. You probably talked to someone in the past at some point that was frustrated with God's people. Because the things they had seen them do, or the things that they had done, or they were frustrated by them, and they said, you know what, I won't go back to church again because of that failure of them. You probably heard that at some point. Now, come on. Now, I'm not sitting here saying they're right for saying that. Okay, come on. I'm not sitting there saying it's okay for them to feel that way, but you've probably met someone somewhere along the way that felt that way. Come on, and this man could be right there, couldn't he? He's been failed by the men that were supposed to help him and aid him and help cure his son, yet he's finding nothing but more frustration. Look in verse number 16. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Look in verse number 19 there. And look what the disciples asked Jesus Christ. And then came the disciples, Jesus, apart and said, why could we not cast him out? The first thing we see is the frustration of the man, don't we? Okay, he's extremely frustrated this time. He comes to Jesus Christ, and praise the Lord, he came back to Jesus Christ, by the way. Praise the Lord for that. He didn't just give up and run away. He said, I'm going to go find that Savior guy. His disciples couldn't do it, but I still believe somehow, some way, he can help me. So he comes back to him, but we find the failure of the disciples in these two verses. And the disciples had failed in their desire to help this man. They had a desire to help him, didn't they? They wanted to help him. They had a legitimate desire to help this man. Now, Christ had given them the power to do this. Look over in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Jesus Christ had given the power and the ability to be able, to be able to cleanse those who were possessed. He had given them this power. We find that in Matthew chapter 10. Look down at verse number 6. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 6. But go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Come on, what does it say there? Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now, he sent them forth, right? He commanded them, saying, go. He's given them the authority to do these things. Only by his authority. They were supposed to go in Jesus Christ's name when they did any of these things. You're my ambassador. Sound familiar? You're my ambassadors, as everyone in this room is today, by the way. We are his ambassadors. So they say, you're my ambassadors, and these are the gifts I'm giving you. I'm giving you authority over evil spirits, that if you will cast them out in my name, in my authority, they will be cast out. I'm giving you the responsibility to do this. In that responsibility, I'm also giving you the ability to do this. So the disciples had this ability, right? They had the ability. It was not their power. It was the power given to them from Jesus Christ to accomplish this. Look over in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter number 6. Not only had Jesus Christ given them the responsibility and the authority to do this. Come on, it takes authority to cast out a demon, right? Okay, it wasn't their authority. They couldn't do it. But Jesus Christ had given them the authority, the responsibility to do this. Only in his power could they do this. And they had exercised that ability in the past. Look what it says in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in whatsoever place ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whatsoever ye shall not receive you, nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Oh, look down at verse number 13. And they cast out many devils, and appointed with oil them that were sick, and healed them. Sounds like they were able to accomplish what Jesus Christ gave them the authority and the power to do, right? Come on, that's what it says here. Pretty clear here what they were able to do. They were able to do what Jesus Christ said they could do under his authority. That if you'll go in my authority, you can accomplish this. And apparently that's exactly what they did. But in this case, they failed. They had failed. They had failed to utilize the power given to them from Jesus Christ in this moment. You know, I can see these men walking into this home or walking up to this young man wherever they met him at, with the understanding they had the power to cure this young man, to help this father. I can see that I can see the train of thought in their heads. Come on. I can see the train of thought. We can do this. Come on, we have the power to do. Jesus Christ has given us the power to do this. He's given us the authority over the devil, over the demons, over these evil spirits. I can see them walking there. And in their desire to help, however, they had forgotten where their power came from. They had forgotten, where their authority came from. I said in the beginning, we have no authority of our own. None. Okay, we have no authority of ourselves. It's only through Jesus Christ we have any authority at all. Any power at all. Any ability at all. It's through his authority. How many times have we went to do something in this life, and we have not asked for God's help? We have not asked for God's leadership. And we have not leaned upon God's authority. How many times have we done that in our lives? I can raise my hand and say it's too many times to count for me. And in these times in my life, more often than not, I have experienced failure at some level. And when we fail, we don't always, it doesn't always just affect us. It can affect our family. It can affect our friends. It can affect the lost around us when I fail. It affects far more than we ever realize. But our failure affects other people. We must understand that authority is everything to success when dealing with anything, but especially when we're dealing with spiritual things. I have to have Jesus Christ. I have to have His authority. Oh, come on, try picking up your Bible and reading it sometime without His authority, without praying about it. Find out how far you get. Well, it's a spiritual book, right? You've probably picked up your Bible at some point in your life and read it and got absolutely nothing out of it. Come on. You've probably been there, because I've been there many, many times. You know, I need His help to understand this book. I need His authority. This is His word. This is His book. It's a gift to understand it. We must understand that authority is everything to success when dealing with spiritual things, and we have no authority of our own to just say, hey, here is what I'm going to do, or here is what I want to have done. Some might surmise this, and I've seen this in some commentaries about this text. Some might surmise that this was a more powerful type of demon than they had ever experienced before. I have a problem with that, because nothing is stronger than Jesus Christ. And it was Jesus Christ's authority that they were supposed to cast out demons with. And nothing can stand up to Him. So if He's given them authority over unclean spirits, he didn't say when he gave them authority over unclean spirits, He didn't say, yeah, but that one. He gave them a caveat to it, did He? He didn't say, well, you're going to come across this one time, and I really wish I could give you the authority to cast out this one, but you know, I just can't give it to you. I'm going to have to do that one myself. He didn't do that. So I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you the power. I'm giving you the ability, if you will trust in Me, if you will go in My strength, My power, My ability, you can do, come on, you can do anything. Because again, it's Jesus Christ doing it. To say this was a more powerful demon is to say Christ wasn't strong enough to do it. Christ wasn't good enough. It's to make God's word a liar, wouldn't it? I can do all things through Christ with strength. That would make Him a liar, right? Come on, it would make that verse null and void, right? If that was the case. This is the mentality. Let me see if I can get to you tonight, because this got to me when I was preparing it. This is like the mentality that I am going through something no one else ever has. This is that mentality, by the way, right here. I'm going through something that no one else ever has. Or this thing I'm dealing with is more difficult than anyone else has ever experienced. You know, I know I'm supposed to trust Jesus Christ, but you don't understand how difficult this is. But isn't that the same mentality here? That's the same thing that's going on in this text. Well, you don't understand, Christ. We tried and we failed, and because this was too big for me. Well, we've had that mentality before. We've thought that way before. Well, you know what? You don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand, brother. This was too hard for me. I mean, this was just too big. This was too difficult. You don't understand what it was like. And I'm going to be honest with you, I may not understand. Because there are things that you've gone through and you go through in life that I've never gone through. So I may not understand. But I do understand that Jesus Christ is all-powerful. I do understand that Jesus Christ has authority over everything in this world. And I know that Jesus Christ can help you through anything you're going through. No matter what it is. Because all things are possible through Christ. So I don't think that's what's going on here. I don't think this was some kind of super demon, okay? Or super spiritual thing that he was going through. What is happening is a great amount of frustration. And this life becomes very frustrating when you seek to live without the authority of Jesus Christ. This whole life becomes frustrating. Everything about it becomes frustrating. Come on, there's been some times when I've been preparing God's word that I've been frustrated. I got this whole book in front of me. Come on. I got this whole big old book in front of me, and there ain't nothing in it. Oh, come on. I can talk about myself here. I can tell on myself. I'm going to prepare messages sometimes. I got this whole big old book full of wonderful things, and there is nothing in it. You know why? Because I'm doing it on my own authority. Right. I'm trying to find out of my own authority, out of my own ability. And you know what? There is nothing in here if I do that. I've got to have Jesus Christ's authority. I step behind this pulpit or I do anything in this life. I've got to have His authority. No matter how good this book is, it does me no good without Jesus Christ's authority. I've got to have His authority. If you're sitting there clinging and say, well, I know a lot about God's word. I know a lot about this or I know a lot about that. If you don't have Jesus Christ's authority, it's not doing you any good, friends. It's doing you no good. You can know all of it. You know it forwards and backwards. It's doing you no good. It's not going to help you. You've got to be under his authority. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, everything about trying to be a Christian is frustrating. I know that from personal experience. Come on, let me say that one more time. You didn't amen that near enough. If you are not saved here tonight, and you are trying to live a spiritual life without the authority of Jesus Christ in your life, you will be frustrated. Because it's impossible to do without his authority. Without him, without accepting him as your person, it's impossible to do this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have no access to spiritual authority. You'll have access to Jesus Christ. There you have no access to spiritual authority if you don't know him as a personal Savior. You do, however, have access to Christ's authority to accept him as your Savior. You've got that authority to say, you know what, I need Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. I'm going to go find out what it means to be saved, how to get saved. You got that authority. You got that because Jesus Christ gave it to you by taking your sins on the cross of Calvary. He's given you that ability. Now look at the frustration of the Savior. This is the part that gets rough. Look in Mark chapter 17. At least if you were a disciple anyways. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 17. If you find Mark chapter 17, let me know. I'll help you out. I'll get you a different Bible. Matthew chapter 17. Look in verse number 16. This man gets the frustration, puts his frustration on Christ because he's frustrated, amen? He's frustrated. I can see him red in the face, mad at this point, just probably bawling at this time. And he comes to Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus Christ says in verse number 17. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? By the way, that's a question there. Notice that. How long shall I suffer you? Another question. Bring him hither to me. Look in verse number 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. This possession had no ability to stand before the authority of Jesus Christ. Instantaneously, he is cured. The frustration of the Father has also frustrated Jesus Christ. Come on, he had given the disciples the authority to help this man. Come on. And now he's looking at this man thinking, why are you in such a state you're at right now? You should not still be in this state. You should be at home resting with your child thinking how good God is right now. But instead, you're still frustrated because of the failure of the disciples to rest in Jesus Christ's authority. This man is still suffering. This child is still possessed. And I think Jesus Christ was just a little frustrated. Come on, that was a joke, by the way. I think he was just a little frustrated. Don't you think? By his words, oh, faithless and perverse generation. That's pretty strong wording. To say to someone, O faithless and perverse generation. You know, Christ has proven himself over and over and over and over again to have authority over everything. Come on, he has authority over the dead, to raise the dead. He's got authority over the storms. He's got authority over all sicknesses, all diseases. He's got authority over everything. And his disciples have seen all of it. They've experienced all of it. They've done amazing things. In the power and authority of Jesus Christ. And they're standing here utterly frustrating Jesus Christ at this point for their faithlessness. And look in verse number 20 when Jesus Christ says this. Well, the disciples come to him and ask him a question. They have maybe more goal than I have to come and ask him this question quite so soon. But they did. And Jesus Christ said this in verse number 20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove thence and be yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Ain't Jesus Christ trying to deliver a message to him? Hey, you can do anything through my authority, and you can do nothing without it. You couldn't cure that man, but you could move that mountain if you had faith in me. But isn't that what he's saying here? What do you think is more impossible, moving that mountain or curing this man? Because I'm telling you, your faith in me could do either one. But you didn't put your faith in me. You didn't put your confidence in me. You didn't give me the authority in the moment. And now you failed and you're trying to figure out why. You're trying to understand why I failed. You're trying to understand why this happened. Why these things happened. And they're melting under the power of these things. They had put their trust in Christ. But they hadn't trusted Him in the moment. When the moment came of testing, they didn't trust Him. They didn't trust His authority. And they didn't reside in Him. You know, there's not much more frustrating. If you've ever taught anybody anything, whether it's your children or somebody at work, if you've ever taught someone anything, there's not much more frustrating in this world than going over and over and over and over and over something with someone and then watching them fail because they hadn't learned the basic principles. Not much more frustrating than that. How many times do I have to tell you this? Come on, I've been that person, by the way. How many times do I have to show you this? I've been there from God Himself a few times, by the way. How many times do I have to show you this? Now, God is very gracious. Praise the Lord. But I've been there. Yeah, God, you're going to have to teach me one more time. And tomorrow will be another time again. But we'll deal with that then. But Jesus Christ is frustrated. He said, I'm not going to be with you forever. And you've got to learn this. By whose authority you do this? What we find is Christ aided the moment, didn't He? He took care of it, didn't He? Come on, He stepped up, didn't He? Took care of it. It was His will for this young man to be healed and this man to stop his frustration to stop. That was His will. And He said, I've got this. And literally instantaneously cures this young man. And instantaneously relieves the frustration of the father. And instantaneously undoes all the failure of the disciples in one singular moment. Come on, He does what? He intercedes and takes care of the issue. You know, what a blessing that God takes care and many times steps in and helps our failures. There will always be fruit in failure if you will seek Jesus Christ. If you will seek to understand of why the failure, you will always find fruit. You can always find growth. The disciples come to Jesus Christ in verse number 19. They begin to ask Him the question, why could we not cast Him out? Why could we not do this? Why couldn't we cast out this particular demon? Why did we fail? I will applaud them at least for going to Him and asking Him. I don't know if I would have been able to do that. I might have been giving Him some distance at this point. But they go to Him and ask Him. You know, why weren't we able to do this? Because why? Because their minds could not process what was different about this situation. They still didn't get it. They still didn't understand what was different. In their minds, they're still thinking, well, maybe the demon. We couldn't cast because this was a certain demon. Or this happened or that. Why couldn't we do this? Their heart was troubled by the events of this failure. And I appreciate that troubling because hopefully they won't make the same mistake again. When you fail, you should be troubled, friends. And you should go to Jesus Christ and ask, you know, Lord, how can I make this right? You should go crying back to them and say, okay, God, yes, I messed up. When you don't recognize His authority, you don't keep His authority, and you become an abysmal failure in some way, say, I failed miserably at this. We should crawl back under Jesus Christ, crawl back under His authority and say, God, I am sorry. I did not recognize Your authority here. Now I'm in a mess. And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ comes and cleans up our messes. Oh, what a blessing it is. When I make a mistake, oh, sometimes I got to live through a mistake. Oh, Jesus Christ still makes me live through the mistake. Some of them, when I make a mistake, and I don't recognize His authority. I've had to live through a few of those. Or Jesus Christ, I forgive you, but you still got to live with it. You got to work yourself out of it. Jesus Christ steps in and says, you know what? You know what? You failed. But they came back to them. Sometimes the greatest spiritual fruit comes from our greatest failures. We learn more from failure than success many times. We do. Many times we do. Because why? Because failure hurts, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Failure sticks with you. Yeah. Come on, I've missed a lot of deer in my day, and I still remember the failures more than the successes. I can still remember. I can remember it in my mind. Remember the shot, the placement, everything, and thought, man, how in the world did I miss that? The one that got away, right? Come on. We remember our failures, don't we? They stick with us. They stick with it. And many times we learn more from that than we do from success. So these men were on the right track in coming to Jesus Christ. Again, I can't imagine going right back to him and saying, Hey, Jesus, what did we do wrong? And then having Jesus Christ say, because of your unbelief. He answers them right. Come on, he gives them a clear understanding. He doesn't pull any punches here, does he? He said, it's your fault. Simply put, because of your unbelief, you failed. Because you didn't trust me enough. You didn't recognize my authority. You failed. Is there any failure with Jesus Christ? Zero failure with Jesus Christ. You cannot fail under his authority. You can't. Now, does that mean you get to do everything you want to do? No, because sometimes his authority says, you can't do this, so just don't even try. This isn't your time right now. Sometimes that's part of Jesus Christ's authority is listening to, don't go there right now. That's not my will for your life. But I'm telling you right now, you cannot fail under his authority. So what's the problem? Their unbelief is the problem, right? Their unbelief is the problem. Now in verse number 21, he gets to the point here, verse number 21, when he says this. He says this in verse 20, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Christ says this failure was grounded in the lack of authority. Isn't that what prayer is? Isn't that what fasting is? Prayer and fasting is all about recognizing authority in your life, right? I need help. I can't do this. Isn't that what all prayer and fasting is a recognition of? Fasting is giving something to God and saying, hey, God, I can't do this, and I know I can't do it, so I'm willing to give up something to show you I can't do this. I need to move your hand in this area. Isn't that what all prayer and fasting is? It's a recognition of authority, isn't it? I can't do this. I need your help. Or my brother and sister need your help. Or this man whose son is a lunatic, he needs your help. You've given me the ability to help him, but I can't do it on my own. But that's not what the disciples thought. Well, come on. Come on. I'm reading between the lines here, but that's exactly what's going on. They had not recognized authority, and they went on their own and tried to do it themselves, and it were an abysmal failure because of it. They did not go on Jesus Christ's authority. They didn't think a bit about taking Jesus Christ with them. Come on, they didn't think a bit about it. He's up on the Mount of Transfiguration right now. We got to do this on our own. You know, many times we jump into life without seeking God. And it appears the disciples went to heal this young man with absolutely no thought of Jesus Christ in their mind. With no thought of his power, with no thought of his authority, with no thought of his ability, no thought where their power came from, no thought where their ability came from. You know, we think, how could this be the case? We look at this and think, how could they make this mistake? I mean, this is a demon they're trying to cast out. I mean, they're trying to do something super spiritual here. They're trying to do something that only God can do. Come on, only God can do, and they went without Jesus Christ. What did we say at the beginning? We can do nothing without Jesus Christ. So to think that I can do anything without him or not take him with me is just as much of a failure as they had right here. Come on. Just as much of a failure as they had right here. It is no different than you doing anything for Christ but not taking Christ with you or taking no thought of him in your walk of your life. We become so familiar with Christ and living for him that we just assume upon him for success and don't rest in his authority. Well, I got a 1-2-3 chart for success here. How am I going to do this? I know what God's word says. So I'm going to do a 1-2-3 checklist of how to get to this point where I can do this. And I go through that checklist, boom, I'm good, now I'm going to go do it. Now, wait a second, are you resting in his authority? Or are you going by what you think? Well, I know what God's word says. Well, God's word certainly has authority. But am I doing it myself through God's word? Then I'm not resting in his authority. I'm not doing it through him. I may be doing it the way he wants me to do it, but I'm still doing it myself. Come on, don't you think they probably went and did it the exact way they did it before? Come on, don't you think? They went and tried to help this young man the exact way they had done it every other time and thought, well, we had success every other time, so we're going to have it again. But they thought no thought of where their actual authority came from. And they just went themselves and tried to do it themselves. Now, please, if you find someone demon-possessed on the way home, don't try to heal them. Okay, we don't have that power any longer. Okay, this is a sign gift. Well, Pastor Teeter said no. Brother Teeter said no, no, no. Hold on now. Get me in trouble. Get yourself in a lot more trouble. But in their thoughts, they do not actually pray about the events that are going to transpire here, do they? They just thought, we have the responsibility to do this, so let's go do it. We have the ability to do this, so let's go do it. Now, why would they think they had the ability to do it? Because they had success in the past. But it wasn't their own success. It wasn't their own authority. It wasn't their own ability. The disciples had the power to cast out demons, but they were not exercising that power through the authority of Jesus Christ, and they failed. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He's working in you. His authority, his ability is working in you to do his good pleasure, to accomplish his will. He's working in you. That means he's doing it. His authority, his power, his ability, I'm just resting in him. You know, there are many things in this world only God can accomplish. And the list goes as longer than you and I can list tonight. There are things in many things in this world only God can accomplish. There are things that we desire God to do. Come on. You probably got a prayer list somewhere around here, right? It's full of things that you want God to do. There are things we desire for God to do. There are things we want God to do. I just have a want list that I want God to do. Then there are things that we need God to do. He is the author of all of them. And praying and fasting are the way that God's hand is moved. Because it's a recognition of authority. To recognition that God is in control and I need his help. The word fasting here in our text means to abstain. In the terms of generally we think of food, correct? So generally, and that's what the definition is, abstain from food. That does not mean food can relate to anything. It's literally anything we give up for God. We give to him in recognition of his authority. God, you're in control. I'm willing to give up. Come on, I'm willing to give up anything you ask. Because you're an authority. Because in the end, absolutely nothing belongs to me. It's all yours. And you're over the authority of every last bit of it. It's your authority. You realize there are so many ways that you can fast. You can fast for health concerns. You can fast for decision making. You can fast in times of trouble. You can fast for the salvation of another. Oh, Lord, please help this. They need to get saved. I'm willing to give this up in recognition of I need your authority to help this person get saved. We can fast for salvation of someone. We can fast for spiritual growth. Oh, come on. We can fast for God's glory, can't we? Just give something up just for him. Say, God, I want to worship and glorify you. And I'm willing to give this up just for your glory and nothing else. I don't need anything from you. I just want to give it up for your glory, that you might be glorified through this. You can fast as a married couple, can't you? Fasting opens the door. Please get this. Fasting opens the door for unforeseen potential. You can't see what the possibilities are. You know, there's so many times in my life I don't understand how I'm going to accomplish something. I need his help. I don't understand how God wants to do it. Maybe I can't even see how God is going to do it. But I know he has the authority to do it, however he wants to. I need him to move. Sometimes we need God to open our minds to ideas that only God can come up with. God, I need your help because I don't see a way out of this. I don't see a way to overcome this. I know what the doctors are saying, and they're saying it's impossible. But I need your help because I know it's not impossible with you. I need my mind open to new ideas. I need another authority in my life. I need the ultimate authority to help me. When facing the unknown, prayer and fasting is the answer. It's the only answer. Because it's the only place where authority truly comes from. We've got to recognize the proper authority. You know why the disciples failed? Because they did not recognize authority. Do you know why we fail? Because we don't recognize his authority. Very simple, isn't it? We fail because we do not recognize the proper authority in doing the things the way that Jesus Christ says to, because I cannot fail with him. God's plan for solving issues is simple. Call upon his names in time of need. Call upon him in time of failure. And see the hand of God move. Prayer and fasting. You know, let us choose to recognize God's leadership and pray for him to give that leadership for us. To exercise his authority in my life. When we face anything without God, we are fighting on our own. When I choose not to pray, when I choose not to seek his face, when I choose to go on my own, when I choose to do it my own way or do it upon myself or I don't recognize him, I'm doing it by myself because I've thrown away authority. I'm going on my own. Now it's all on me. Friend, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. And that's the lesson that Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples. Why did you fail? Because you went on your own. Let us choose to make God the authority in our lives and live under that authority. This will translate into our lives being what it needs to be. It will translate to success. It will translate to more success and more success. And more success if we will simply understand the proper authority and live under that authority. That means praying about the things that we do, fasting about the things that we need to, and saying, God, oh Lord, I need your authority. My church service today needs your authority. My children need your authority. I need to be under your authority at work. I need your authority today to go to work because I may face something I don't know. I need your authority today. Oh, please, Father, help me no matter what comes into my life today, no matter what temptation, no matter what problem I face, that I'll do it under your authority, that I'll recognize it and humble myself before you. Oh, please, Father, I don't want to fail. Come on, I don't want to fail. Those lost people around me, I can't fail or I'm going to let them down. On my family. I can't fail. I'm going to let my family down. I'm just going to cause more frustration. When authority is recognized and followed, our lives are blessed. It's just a simple truth. Are you recognizing authority in your life today? Have you recognized the authority of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation? If you haven't, come down to this old-fashioned altar today and someone will take you by the hand and show you exactly what recognizing Jesus Christ as the only authority for salvation, they'll show you how to do it. If you're bucking at authority in some other area tonight or you failed in some area and you say, I now know why I failed. I see it. I didn't recognize his authority. Why don't you come and say, God, please help me with this. Maybe tonight you're just frustrated. Come on, you're just frustrated. And you haven't figured out why you're frustrated. It's not you go, you know what? I have not been recognized as a authority. I haven't been praying. I've been seeking his face. That's why I'm frustrated. Seems so simple, doesn't it? But how many times do we go through life frustrated Sometimes we're frustrated by events. Sometimes things that are happening, we get frustrated to no end. And we got to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I was not recognizing your authority. But now I do. We got to come before him and say, God, I'm sorry. And what the disciples did? He said it was your unbelief was the problem. The only way to get this is through prayer and fasting. What I'm telling you tonight is the only way to accomplish anything is through the proper authority. Are you under that authority for salvation? Are you living under that authority every single day? You can do nothing without his authority.